Book of 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter number 16. And thank you, men, for singing. Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me. And I hope we're looking forward to seeing him. It may be soon. Boy, I may have to put this candy away here. I might get hungry in the message and dive into this thing. So I'll put that under here if you don't mind. Turn in these prayer slips for our all-night prayer meeting if you've got something on your heart you want us to pray for. We will pray about that this Friday night. Look at 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 3. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Now, that verse may look familiar to you. It's in the bulletin as our memory verse for this month. Notice the word order in it. You'll see behind me a plaque that says order. That's been our theme this year, just trying to put things in biblical order. And here is a text where the Apostle Paul, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, concerning the collection for the saints, is given order to the churches of Galatia. Now, Galatia was a large region about the size of Pennsylvania. So there are a lot of churches throughout Galatia, and Paul gave them an order. Paul gave them an order regarding collections. And what was that order? Verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. Now notice the subject is collections here, and I want to talk about that today as we continue on in Stewardship Month. Now, October here, I know some of you are brand new to the church, it's your second or third time. October every year is Stewardship Month. Now that doesn't mean we talk about money all month long. In fact, I haven't talked about it once yet until today. We've been talking about other things. To the men last week, I spoke on the stewardship of our wives and what a gift they are to us and how God would have us take care of them. And tonight I'm going to speak to the men again on another area of stewardship, and in the men's meeting at 5:30 and tonight at 6:30. Come back and I'll be preaching a different sermon at 6:30 tonight on a different area of stewardship. And so I haven't mentioned money once this month. But I want to talk about this today, the stewardship of our finances, the stewardship of our finances and God's order in giving. And in so doing, I'm hoping that maybe God might open our eyes to something we're seeing happen right in front of us here in the United States of America. There are 38 parables that Jesus spoke in the New Testament. Jesus spoke 38 different parables. 19 of them were about money. 19 of them were about money. Half of the parables Jesus spoke on were talking about money in some way or form, way, shape, or form. He didn't hesitate to talk about this. Why? Because he himself said these words. He said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, when you talk about finances, you're often talking about a person's heart. You're talking about a person's heart where their finances are. And Jesus was concerned about the condition of our hearts, right? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Something else about finances is concentrated life. Finances is concentrated life. When you go to work, men, women, some of you work, and you do, you get so much money an hour. It takes you an hour of your life to earn that much money. Then when it comes to the Lord's work or charity or whatever you're giving to, you put money in the offering plate or whatever, that's concentrated life. You are literally giving back a part of your life to the Lord when you put something in the offering. Does that make sense? Money is concentrated life. It took part of your life to earn that. And you're showing to the Lord how much you love him, and you're saying, Lord, you gave your life for me. Here's some of my life back to you. Use this. in any way you see fit. Now, the order in verse 2 was this. Upon the first day of the week. Now, what day is that? That's Sunday. The first day of the week is Sunday. And he's giving order to the churches in Galatia, a big region of churches, upon the first day of the week. That's Sunday. The next phrase, let every one of you. I want to ask you what this means. I believe it when it says let every one of you, it means let every one of you. All right? Every one of you. So what do we have so far? Every Sunday, every one of you, lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now that phrase, lay by him in store, comes from a Greek word which means to make a deposit. To make a deposit. You see, we cannot lose by giving because our Lord, as we'll see later in the message, keeps the accounts in heaven. And he is going to bless us and he's going to reward us in heaven forever, but also in this life in accordance with our giving. Giving is a blessing. Don't be afraid of this subject. Jesus said in Acts 8, I think it's Acts 18. He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Giving is a blessing according to the Lord. It's not a curse. So don't be afraid of the subject of giving. Now, what in the world is happening in America? We have seen our financial institutions absolutely rocked lately. The Dow Jones Industrials, the S&Ps, the NASDAQ, and so on and so forth. There's been radical legislation that has been rushed through our Congress in about 4 days. Over $700 billion was passed to help try to finance and focused on the mortgage industry and the insurance industries and so on and so forth. And they rushed through in 4 days more money towards helping our financial institutions than have been spent in the entire Iraq war since we've been there. And they really ran that thing through. I don't know if it's a good thing or not, but we seem to have a government that's concerned trying to bail out Amtrak and the airlines and taking over the health care industry, and Social Security seems like it's ready to blow up. It's too big for my head to figure out. Let's just put it that way. But boy, I'll tell you what, people are rocked almost to the foundation of their beings over what is happening in the financial realm of the United States of America, and even sometimes globally. Now, what's happening? Well, I want to propose two things of why we are in this mess currently. Number one, it could be the ultimate October surprise. It just seems, in my opinion, and again, I've said this before, I don't belong to any political party. If you do, that's wonderful. I'm not trying to agitate you or anything like that, but it just seems to me like every election cycle there is an economic crisis that seems to go away quite quickly after the election's over. And it seems to breed a lot of fear in people to vote for a particular party or against a particular party or for a particular candidate or against a particular candidate, because of the tremendous love in our country for money. Now, there's a problem with loving money. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith. And I think, personally, there's more important things to be concerned about in any election than the personal state of your economy or my economy, such as national defense. To me, that's always the greatest issue. I want to be safe. I want to be secure. I want to have a strong military. Jesus said in Luke chapter number 11, when he talked about this subject, and in verse number 21, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh away from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. So Jesus talked about the importance of having a strong military if you want to have peace. And so to me, that's more important than the economy. But I want to give you what I think is a biblical reason for the mess that we are in economically. Some might think it's the ultimate October surprise, or it may be just a coincidence that the thing is breaking down right now, right at an election time. It may be just a coincidence. I don't know. But I want to show you something I do know from the Bible, and I'd like you to turn back to Malachi chapter 3, and I'd like us to take a different look at this text than maybe we've ever looked at. We've always looked at the text about tithing and offering in Malachi chapter 3 from an individual basis. But actually, in the context, Malachi talks about Israel as a nation withholding tithes and offerings from the Lord. And notice what he says here in Malachi. Now, that's the book right in front of Matthew. It's the last book of the Old Testament. Chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? How in the world are we going to rob God? Tie his hands up? Reach into his back pocket? Grab his wallet or what? What do you mean? What do you mean we've robbed you? And here's his answer. In tithes and offerings. Now, what is the result on the nation? Now, we usually look at this text for individuals, but let's look at it as a nation. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole, what's the next word? Nation. Now, go to the newspaper article that I've printed out. The quality's not that good, but you can probably read it. This is from the USA Today, just not quite 3 weeks ago. Our brother Mike O'Mara brought this to my attention, and I've just underlined a few things I want to look at. But notice, you read the title and the subtitle and the first statement, and you get a little bit confused. It says, offerings make up a third of U.S. donations. Now, the subtitle says this, Christian family among 5% who faithfully tithe. And then there are pictures there, wonderful family from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Christian family among 5% who faithfully tithe. What did we just read in Malachi? You have robbed me, even this whole nation. And they said, how do we rob God? Tithes and offerings. Now, what should, if we live biblically, what should that subtitle say? It says, Christian family among 5% who faithfully tithe. What should it say if we live biblically? Christian family among 100% who faithfully tithe. That's what it should say. And then the real contradiction to me when I began to read this is the very first sentence of the article. Believers are givers. He just said, Christian family among 5% who faithfully tithe. Then he says, believers are givers. Or she said that, she wrote it. Boy, I don't see that. Now, there's a lot of statistics in here, and there's even some biblical references in here about tithing and so on. But I'd like you to just look at the couple lines that I've underlined, and you can look at the rest some other time. Go down the first column. It says where I've underlined 5% of American Christians overall, that's 8% of all Protestants and 2% of Catholics, tithe. Now, you know, I don't want to take too much time to explain this, but as you know, Baptists, most of you know, Baptists were never Protestants. They were always an independent group of Bible-believing Christians that have come up over the last couple thousand years since John the Baptist. But anyways, I don't want to split hairs over that. Protestants gave their church an average of $1,705 per household. Catholics gave $984. Now notice the next thing I underlined. 6 in 10 people gave something to their house of worship last year. How should that read? It should say 10 in 10 people. Notice the next statement. About 47% gave less than $500. And then they go to complaining about the economic downturn. My question to you today to think about is, do you think maybe the economic downturn is because we're not tithing? Did not God say to Israel, you are cursed with a curse? In Malachi chapter number 3, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. If this article says one thing, it says what? America has robbed God. Tithes and offerings. Only 5% faithfully tithe. Now, go to the third column. I got a couple other things underlined here. It divides our country up into four quarters, the Northeast, the Midwest, the South, and the West during states. And there's a paragraph. I have a statement underlined. I want to read the whole paragraph, though. It says, based on the Labor Bureau statistics, people living in the Western states donate the most money to churches and religious organizations, $869 per person, compared with $453 for the Northeast, $780 for the Midwest, $823 for the South. Which one's the lowest? Northeast. Where do we live? Look at the next paragraph. Ronsweil calculates that as a percentage of income after taxes, now that's after taxes, should we tithe before taxes or after? Should we give Caesar his first or does God get the first? Bring your first fruits. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy first fruits. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy the presses shall just overflow. The Lord wants the first fruits, not what's left after the government and everything else takes it out. Now, he calculates here after income taxes, the most generous people are in the South. Now, let's notice how generous they are. Southerners give 1.5% of their income. Now, this is net income. See how generous they are down there in the South? That's real generous. Compare with 1.4 in the Midwest and West and what do we got now? 0.7% in the Northeast. Boy, we're really generous up here, aren't we? Really generous. Now, this article here is just thrilled with this. It seems when you read the spirit of the article, we're just thrilled that Americans are giving so much. Now, in Northeast, we're given 0.7%. What should we be given? 10%. In the South, 1.5%. In the Midwest and West, 1.4%, 10%. Now, I know that sounds radical maybe to some of you who've never heard of it before. Tithing, it sounded radical to me. Man, when I first heard it, I thought, man, that guy's a schemer. That guy up there, he just wants my money. You don't understand, I need more money. I don't need to be giving him more away. But then over 30 years ago, I began to tithe and give offerings on top of that, and now I wouldn't think of stopping for anything. You could lay down $1 million and say, Pastor Cole, this $1 million is yours. All you got to do is stop giving God tithes and offerings. I'd say, keep your million. I want God's blessing on my life. It is so wonderful. And God's not affected by this current economic downturn. He's still God. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. That's a couple pages away. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And so we have the Lord Jesus Christ telling us it's possible to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Now, how can we do that? By giving. That's one way. Go to the book of Hebrews. We'll look at a couple of scriptures and then a few more articles I have for you to look at this morning. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 34. Paul says this. He said, for you had compassion on me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Now, who's the author? Paul. What was he? A missionary. He was going out, he went on three large missionary journeys in his life, took different men with him, and everywhere he went, he preached the gospel, and he planted churches, and he ordained elders to take over those churches, and he just established churches all over Asia and Europe. And he talked about these believers, these Jewish believers, these wonderful Jewish believers, who had compassion on him and his bonds and his struggles. They spoiled their goods, they did it joyfully, knowing in themselves that in heaven they have a better and more enduring substance. So when Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, Paul then shows us how to do that by helping missionaries, helping people doing the work of the Lord. The Lord's commission, the great commission of the church, is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, did you ever notice that that is impossible for you to do? Now, you can preach the gospel to some, but you can't preach the gospel to all. But you can help send other people out to all the world to preach the gospel. And that's through what we call missions today, or what they're called in the Bible, apostles. Those that were sent forth to other places to preach the gospel. And these people supported them. Turn to the book of Philippians and chapter 4. While you're doing that, we're trying to have what we call here in Eden a New Testament church. A New Testament church. By that, we're trying to spread the gospel around this area. We're trying to tell everybody God loves you, Jesus died for you, you can be saved, trust in Christ as your Savior, and you can be saved. We're trying to reach people in the area with the gospel. But there's areas we can't go to, and I'd like you to turn to the next page. And so we support missionaries who do go to the missions field. Now, thanks to Mr. Broughton, we have these tremendous missions reports, and thanks to Pastor Seth, we have a great missions program here in our church. And you'll notice a report here on the next few pages for your examination. Feel free to ask Mr. Broughton, ask Pastor Seth, ask me if you got any questions. But I want you to notice on the first page of this, about maybe a quarter of the way down, the total funds received for missions in the last year was $101,885. Now, $101,885.19. Now, brethren, that is the most we've ever collected in a year's time for missions. And we want to say thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can I get an amen there? Amen. Thank you. Thank you for giving. My wife and I, we give to missions every week. So many of you do also. Some of you just maybe sporadically or something. Notice the faith promise was over $75,000, the most ever. That's about $1,449 a week that people give every single week to missions through the local church here in Eden. I'm pretty happy about that. Some of that goes to help the bus ministry a little bit. Some of it goes for the charity house out in Irving that we own, which is a missions house, which provides free housing to missionaries who are traveling on deputation or furlough. About 150 days a year, that house is used. It's not only used by us, but by four other churches. And that's a great thing. We never charge them a penny for staying there. Never do. Some of you help, the checks help in and around the building, and some of you go out and mow the lawn, thank you very much. And then underneath that, you're going to see all the names and ministries that we have sent money to this year on the next three pages. That's just this year to help these missionaries, and it comes down at the bottom to $99,648. So about $101 came in, about $99 went out. We're not getting rich. We're not just sticking it in the bank and bragging about our bank account. We're trying to send it out as fast as it comes in so people can go out there into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, where are these people going? Look at the green sheet. On one side of the page, you'll see half of the world. On the other side of the page, you'll see half of the world. And you will see where they are ministering. And as Pastor Seth brought to our attention, we have missionaries, families serving the Lord in some country in every time zone of the world. That means that when you're asleep tonight, there's somebody awake serving the Lord somewhere that you have helped support to get them there. And that's a wonderful thing. And I believe you're laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now we have the last page here, looks like a pie, kind of a pie or something. And we have, right now about 77 missionaries. We were up to 80 or so. A few have come back off of the field during the course of the year. Now, we gave more, but we also did this. I'm just trying to inform you today. We also did this with many of the missionaries we've been supporting. We didn't take on so many new missionaries this year, but we raised the amount we were sending to those that were already on the field because the American dollar's value was falling in places where they lived. And so a lot of these missionaries, we raised the amount of money we sent them, but we did take on some new missionaries, and we think we're at the point now, a lot's going to depend on our faith promise, that we're going to be able to take on some more of these missionaries that have come through recently. Now here, this pie, or whatever I call it, a pond, if you'll see that, when I or my wife or you give to missions every week, if you can just picture a flat pond of water with no ripples in it, and you take a rock and you throw it into the middle of that pond, that's going to produce what we call ripples. And those ripples are going to go out in every single direction. That's kind of what we're trying to portray here by this. When you give to the missions account of this church, your investments, I put down 80 investments here. I know it's actually about 77 right now, but it was up to 80. All right. In other words, I had 80 investments. My wife has 80 investments. Many of you that are given to missions every week have 80 investments. Where the Lord said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, I would be afraid. I'm not into the stock market at this time. I'm not against people doing that if they can do it wisely, but I sure have felt sorry for some of those people lately. With their stocks and bonds and 401ks and so on and so forth. It's an investment that one man described to me recently as almost a gamble. It's almost a gamble. But brethren, this isn't a gamble right here. This is a sure thing. This is a sure thing. Now, you go down on Wall Street and you say to them on Wall Street, listen, friend, I want to invest some money. And here's my criteria. I want it to benefit me in this life, and I want it to benefit me in the next life. Well, that broker is going to call the paddy wagon and take you away to a psychiatric hospital because he's going to think you're nuts. There's not a broker down there on Wall Street who can say, I can guarantee you that if you'll invest in this, it'll bless you in this life and in the next life. But this is exactly what God is saying in His Word. Exactly. And I want you to turn to Philippians. And if you're not given to missions, I want to encourage you just to think about this text in closing. I'm not trying to manipulate anybody. I would encourage you to look over this card. There's no place for your name on it. Maybe turn a card in this week, next week or something. It's between you and God. Nobody's going to ever come after you for it. Nobody's going to ever ask you for it. You're not going to get a letter from the church. We just don't do that here. But brethren, I'm trying to get you in on something that's been such a blessing to me and to so many other people. Because there is a God who cannot lie, and He wrote a book called the Bible. And He filled this book with promises. And I want to just close with a text that has some promises in it about missions giving. And I want to encourage you, as we read earlier, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay in store as God has prospered him. And then in verse 3 it said, and we'll find somebody and we'll take that money to them. They found ambassadors they sent with letters. Fortunately, we have the postal system nowadays. But we are following the same New Testament pattern that we read earlier in 1 Corinthians 16. And notice in Philippians 4, in closing, beginning at verse 10, again, Paul is now writing, this time to a local church at Philippi. Philippi is not like Galatia. Galatia was like a region, like Pennsylvania. Philippi is a particular town, particular city, like Eden. And he's writing to them, and he says this, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last, notice these next four words, your care of me. Now, who is him? He, me. He's the missionary. He's the guy out there trying to plant churches, trying to save souls, trying to go places they haven't gone. Your care of me hath flourished again. wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want. You say, I don't want your money. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. So as a missionary, Paul is saying, I have learned how to function for the Lord with very little. I've learned how to function for the Lord for very much. I'm not trying to beg for your money here. I've learned to be content. But notice this, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Christ can get me through this. Next verse, notwithstanding, you sure have helped. That's what he's about ready to say here. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now, what did they do? Send them letters, call them on their cell phones. What did they do? Well, he's going to take that word communicate in verse 14 and define it in verse 15. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church, here's the word again, communicated with me, how? As concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So in other words, remember when I was there in Philippi and I planted that church. You can read the history in Acts 16, amen? The salvation of Lydia, the salvation of the demonic girl, the salvation of the jailer, and those became a little core nucleus of a church in Philippi. But then Paul got ran out of town. But he went to the next region, Macedonia. When I departed from Macedonia, or where you were, no church communicated it concerning giving and receiving, but you only. You sent to me. How often? Verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, when I was planting a church there, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Question. Anybody know how long he was in Thessalonica? About 2 weeks. Then what happened? He got ran out of there. But he left the church behind. Verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but here's something we're going to see now for the third time this morning, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Paul said, Hebrews 10:34, you took joyfully the spoiling of good, knowing that in heaven you have a more enduring substance. And here he says, I don't desire a gift. I'm not trying to get your money. I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I am full. I'm at 100% support and abound. I am full. I have all. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell and a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now that's a wonderful story if it ended there, but it even gets better. It even gets better. Verse 19 says this, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't that a great ending to the story? He says, listen, and he's saying about four things here, and we'll close with this. He's saying, first of all, if you'll support missionaries, God will meet your needs. Now that kind of, people like hearing that. And my wife and I, since we've been married, have been tithing to the Lord every single week and giving even more than the tithe to missions lately. And by the end of the year, it's like we don't even miss it. I don't know how. We just don't even miss it. God provides. Now, when we first began, we were so fearful. At least I was. Maybe she wasn't. She's got better faith than I have. I was so fearful saying, how is this going to work? Well, the Lord told us how it's going to work. He said back in Malachi, that text we were reading earlier, where he said, I've cursed the nation of Israel because you withheld tithes from me. He said, you're going down. But he gave them this instruction. He said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before time in the field, saith the Lord. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord. Notice that really when he's talking about tithes and offerings there, that text is not for individuals, it's for a nation. And when I read an article like this right here, I think, boy, if God dealt with Israel because they withheld tithes and offerings from the Lord, God's going to deal with America. Now, I don't know what's going on. I'm just not that savvy enough about finances. Maybe the thing will bounce back. There seems to be some principles in place that help it bounce back. I don't know. But it might be God shaking us up a little bit here. You know, we support almost 80 missionaries, almost missions endeavors. But I think since the 25 years, we've had so many missionaries come through here and they share their burden with us. You know what I mean? Some of you come on Sunday nights and see them when they come. Out of the ones we support, there's probably 300 or 400 others who have come through here in the last 25 years we've never supported. And do you know why we have not supported them? We don't have anything to send them. And I'm not begging for myself. I've never asked for a raise since I've been the pastor of this church. But these missionaries are going with the gospel. They come back and they report to us and they tell us sometimes about dozens, sometimes hundreds. We've had missionaries come back and tell us about thousands of souls who got saved because they got there to the mission field and we helped them get there. The gospel reached them. Now, we can look at this in a couple pages. We can look at this and say, praise the Lord. It was our best year ever. Thank God for it. But, you know, I don't think we're reaching our potential and what we could be doing to help worldwide evangelization. Because it's probably been over 300 missionaries who have come through here. We've patted them on the back. We've given them a love offering. We've said, send your letters. We pray for you, and we do pray for them. But over the years that we were never able to support, now, that should bother us, but imagine how that bothers the Lord when he looks at statistics like this about our country. And the most important thing in life is hearing the gospel and being saved and letting other people hear the gospel and be saved. I want to encourage you to be a good steward of your finances. I want to encourage you to tithe and to give offerings and trust God by faith and get your money in order and don't spend more than you take in and get a budget in your home and live within your means. And even if you have to downsize some things, I've had to do that before where this, you know, downsize some things and get out of debt and get those credit cards paid off and work down your mortgage and so on. And don't spend frivolously. I want to encourage you, as I always have, to be as wise as you possibly can with your finances. You kids, you teens, start saving money. I know you must think I'm some guy from the dark ages or something, but you kids, start saving money. Get yourself a bank account and start putting everything you possibly can in that bank account and saving money for it. But first of all, honor the Lord. Honor the Lord, that's the order. On the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in stores. God has prospered him. We shouldn't be happy about this. Maybe USA Today is, but we should say, Lord, you know, you look at these reports and you think, wow, look at all we're doing with what's coming in. But can you imagine if every church, every believer just in America tithe, not 5%, but of 100%, just our country alone could reach the world with the gospel. Just our country alone could reach the world with the gospel. If everybody tithed and gave to missions. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we pray now for you to bless our invitation. And we pray for the Holy Spirit to work on our hearts about giving and the stewardship. This is stewardship month, Lord. And I tried to present what your word says accurately, Lord, today, what your plan is. And you said you would bless us in this life and in the next. And many have tithing testimonies, many have faith promise testimonies, and they know your word is sure, Lord. And so help us in this matter. Those that are struggling with giving, I pray you'd help them. And now bless this invitation, just work in people's hearts, whatever it might be, in Jesus' name. Amen.